Together we say, amen, amen. Can we praise him once more this morning? Amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. So, so good to see every single one of you in God's house here today. Obviously, we look forward to the moment when both services are just packed to capacity and all of the people are able to be here. But I want to tell you, I want to continue to tell you, you look incredible. You look amazing. And thank you for being here with us here this morning. And everybody online, we love you and we're so grateful for you. Thank you for that online presence. I encourage you to share the message that you hear, the worship and all the stuff that's going on. Share it with your friends and your family. Hey, let's build the church here in the house and let's build the church outside. Amen. And let's continue to see what God is doing. So I just appreciate every single one of you that's here and those online. Love every one of you guys. And I can't wait to see you. This morning, I just want to continue on our series, Coming Back Stronger. But in doing so, I'm going to break away from the book of James. Now, when I first began this, I wasn't sure how long I would stay in James. I'm pretty confident that we're going to come back to it next week. The Holy Spirit may redirect as the studies go on. But today, I wanted to break away from that. And I don't want to break away from the early church. We're just going to step back even a few more years to when they were first launched out. Because today is Pentecost Sunday. And this is a perfect word for the day, for the hour in which we're in. And when we talk about coming back stronger, you talking about a church rising up and being launched out in power and in strength, that is what this day is all about. Now, some of you may have saw that on your calendar. If it's marked and it said Pentecost Sunday, and you're thinking, oh yeah, I know exactly what that is. Others will be like, I have no clue what that is. You know, well, we're going to talk about it just a little bit here this morning. We know that Pentecost Sunday is celebrated 50 days after the Passover and after Easter. Now, if we were referring to it in the Old Testament, Pentecost is the Jewish celebration of the Feast of Weeks, or the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So it was a day of thanksgiving to God, and that's what it represented. For the New Testament believer, which is you and I today, it is the anniversary in which we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church being empowered and launched out into all the world. I'm thankful for what this day represents. Amen. So thank God for empowering us with the Holy Spirit, because there is no coming back stronger without it. We have got to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives every single day. Now, as we build our message, let's understand a few things. God's Holy Spirit has been actively involved in the lives of his people since the very beginning. Now, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on designated individuals to empower them for a task that God had called them to complete. So there's lots of places in Scripture we could look at. I'm just going to pull out a few of them here this morning. We could go back to Exodus chapter 31, verse number 3. It says that the Holy Spirit fell upon Bezalel, which was a craftsman of the tabernacle. The Scripture literally says that I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. You can go to Numbers chapter 11, verse number 25. And we are told here that the Holy Spirit fell upon the 70 elders who were with Moses in the wilderness camp, and the purpose was specifically to be able to prophesy. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 13, the Holy Spirit fell upon David as he was anointed to be the future king of Israel. Scripture says, Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he had and he brought, and he anointed David with the oil. And at that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. That was an incredible task that was before him, and he could not have done that without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we move into the New Testament, we see Jesus himself being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, some may back up and say, now, Pastor, wait a minute, Jesus is God, and so God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, how could that be possible when the Holy Spirit was always with him? Because when he walked the planet, he was flesh and blood, just like you and I. He was humanity. So in his humanity, he prayed to the Father. In his humanity, he had to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when you go to Luke chapter 4, verse number 1, it says that Jesus, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse number 14 says, he went back full and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. Verse number 18, he begins to quote from Isaiah, and this is what he says about his ministry. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So Jesus himself was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, God's purpose of empowering his people with the Holy Spirit, it has not changed. What has changed from the Old Testament into the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit, once being designated for the specific individuals, it's now become available for every single believer who would call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's pretty amazing, because when you read of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, all the incredible stories from the beginning to end, and you see how the Holy Spirit was at work. The Holy Spirit was at work during creation. The Holy Spirit has been at work through all the prophets and all those incredible stories that many of you learned at a young age. It is the Holy Spirit's empowerment that gave the people the ability to move forward with God's plan and purpose in their lives. Now, for you and I, because of the promise that's been given to us, because of what this day represents, we can all be empowered with the Holy Spirit. We look at the promises and we see them in Scripture. Isaiah 44:3 says, I will pour out my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist, he says this of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We are thankful for the promise that has been given to us. Because of these promises, today, you and I, we are recipients of what God is doing in every single believer's life. Now, this takes me to Acts. We're going to look a little bit in Acts 1, and then we'll get in Acts chapter 2. But before we do, I want you to consider some things. Let's consider the atmosphere. Let's consider the moment and when all of this is taking place. Now, we understand that the disciples and the followers of Christ, they have witnessed the death of Jesus. But they also have witnessed his resurrection power, because for the last 40 days, what has happened? He has shown himself to many, not only to the disciples, but the scripture even records that 500 individuals, they saw the presence of Jesus Christ, so they have seen him in his resurrection power. Now, when we think about the political atmosphere of the time between the Romans and the Jews, it is extremely, extremely volatile. The disbelief in Christ and the fear of his resurrection being true, that has caused the persecution against believers to rise immensely. You and I, we understand, I believe Pastor Matt a few weeks ago made reference to this in his message, that the believers, they had been meeting behind closed and locked doors. Even behind those locked doors, you remember it was Jesus who appeared to them, and at first they were startled until they recognized that it was Jesus Christ. So this moment, without doubt, is unprecedented. Now, I kind of laugh when I use that word, because the staff and the deacons know that's not one of my favorite words. And the reason is, I think that's one of the most overused words in today's culture. Now, the coronavirus epidemic, that is unprecedented. The things of that nature, that's unprecedented. If the president gets out and waves at somebody he's not supposed to wave at and somebody gets mad, that's not unprecedented, okay? We use that word for so many. It's unprecedented what is happening right now. So I'm not using it. I don't want to take any meaning away from it. I want to use it in its correct form. What is happening right now is extremely unprecedented for the church in which they are dealing with. Their faith was at a pivotal moment. Now, while standing on the Mount of Olivet with the backdrop of Jerusalem in the background, Jesus speaks the promise of the Holy Spirit over the disciples in this season, in this moment. It's powerful. Acts 1:8, what does the scripture say? It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, that is a powerful promise that has just been spoken into their lives. The question is, how are they going to respond? Especially when they see Jesus ascend back into heaven and realize that physically, he is no longer going to be in their presence because he's been their leader. He has been leading the way. He's been with them every step of the way. Now that all of this is happening, how are they going to respond? Because again, you and I, we have read this passage probably multiple times over the years. And even if we haven't, when we read it today, it's a little bit different from us because we know the story and we know how this story ends. But for them in this moment of time, I try to put myself in that moment the best that I can. This moment, there had to be a lot of emotions and a lot of thoughts that's going through their mind. And so they've been behind locked doors. They've had some fear. They've had some worry. They're not sure how this is all going to unfold. So how are they going to respond to this? And then Jesus ascends up into heaven. Well, let's look in verse number 12. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Judas, the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So they're doing what they're supposed to be doing here. And now let's move into Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance to do so. I shouldn't lick my finger because we're not supposed to do that during this time, but my page is stuck. All right. Verse goes on. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude, they came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Let's go on down to verse 12. And it says, and all were amazed. They were perplexed. They were saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking and said, they are all filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he addressed them. He said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. And for the next several moments, Peter addresses the crowd, and what he does is he preaches the gospel. He is empowered by the Holy Spirit. He has an anointed word. And now a man who had been fearful, a man who had been hiding, is now a man who is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he steps up and he presents the gospel in a powerful way. And as he does so, there is something happening amongst the crowd. He does that, and look what the response is. Verse number 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness, and he continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Scripture goes on. Now, I love this portion, because this next word, if you ever wonder where we get our purpose words for our church, this is it. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, and they were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Man, what a powerful picture that the scripture gives us of the church. And can I tell you, on this Pentecost Sunday morning, I look forward to the day when the church is moving in such a manner. I look forward to the day when we are just lifting up the name of Jesus, where we are ministering full force, where we have all things in common, where there is just an awesome sense of unity, following God, doing what He would have us to do. And as we're doing that, people are being saved day by day by day. Now, just as the Holy Spirit had been poured out on individuals before to empower them to fulfill God's call and purpose, the Holy Spirit would now be poured out on the entire body of Christ. And that's what we see happening. All who set out to live the Christian life, to follow God's call, to embrace and fulfill the purpose placed within them, they are fully able to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That means every single one of us and every single person that's watching online today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have that ability to be empowered with the Holy Spirit to fulfill the call and the purpose that He's placed within your life. Now, is this significant for the church today? Is celebrating Pentecost Sunday really significant? Pastor, it seems so far removed. It seems perhaps a little bit out of date. It seems a little bit irrelevant. Is that the case? I would say to you this morning, absolutely not. As much as the church needed to rise up in the power of God, today, like never before, we need to rise up in God's power and God's strength. And that's only going to happen when we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, this was the way they would be able to fulfill the call that God had put upon them. Remember His instructions? You're going to be witnesses. You're going to start in your own backyard. You're going to start in your own communities. And then the gospel is going to spread. Now, they may not have understood that it was going to spread because they are going to be persecuted and scattered, because that's what happens. But He's saying to them, no matter what happens, no matter what comes against you, no matter what tries to stop the momentum, no matter what tries to cause you to silence your voice and silence your testimony, if you will stay empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will move forth and you will see the gospel being preached. And because so, people are going to be saved. Can I say this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, make no mistake. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts associated with the Holy Spirit, they are to build up, they are to strengthen, and they are to empower the believer individually and believers collectively. Amen? That's what that Holy Spirit is for. The church would never be the same after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think about our series. I think about coming back stronger. And I look at Peter. He perhaps could be the poster child for coming back stronger. Because before he had failed, before he was weak, now he's been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he comes back with this boldness and with this courage and with this anointing. And because so, the gospel is being preached and lives are being changed. Now, as I've kind of set up this moment here this morning, here's what I really want you to receive before you were to leave this place today. To be launched out in God's power, to be launched out in God's strength, the believers had to be where God wanted them to be and doing what God wanted them to do. Now, when I wrote that, I thought, you cannot get any more simple than that. That is an incredibly simple statement to make. Bless you. But how true it is. Because we're going to just be spinning our wheels if we're not being where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. Now, you can be at a place in your life, I believe. You're not exactly where God wants you to be. You're not exactly doing what God wants you to do, but you can still see God's goodness because that's just how incredible He is. You can see His kindness. You can even experience His peace, and you can see some of the things that God is doing in your life. But can I tell you, you will never be fulfilled within. You will not be walking in the full power of the Holy Spirit unless you are at where God wants you to be and doing what He wants you to do. Why do some of us spin our wheels so much and we kind of stay in the same place? You ever just been stuck and you've just been spinning your wheels, and you're trying to get somewhere? That reminds me of mowing right now because my yard is so wet and I live up on a hill. I can't tell you how many times I've just sat there in that one spot and I've spun and I've spun and I've spun. I ain't getting anywhere and I'm trying hard. I'm leaning this way. I'm leaning that way. I'm rocking the mower. I'm doing everything. I'm sure it's quite a sight to see from my neighbors. but I'm doing everything possible, but I've got to get out and I've got to move that mower into a different position so I can keep moving forward. That's how we are sometimes in our lives. We just get in one place. We feel like we're doing, we can look around and see that, oh, I'm making some progress. I'm getting the yard mowed. But if I never get off that mower and move it somewhere else, I'm not going any other direction. I'm just going to stay there. And sometimes as Christians, we just stay in the same place. We do the things that God wanted us to do yesterday, but now he's got something different for us, but yet we're not going anywhere because we're still stuck on doing what we did yesterday. Make sense? We do that because we just get in this moment of just being stuck in this rut for a second. And when we do that, nothing influential has really taken place. You can see God, you can see some great things happening, but when you're where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, man, that's when it really begins to take off. That's when you are fulfilled. That's when you are empowered. That's when you can really hear the voice of God speak to your life. That's when you can walk in his blessings and the fullness of his promises. Church, I don't know about you, that's where I want to be. Coming out of the coronavirus, I don't want to go back to where I was before. I want to go back into being stronger and better and hearing the voice of God and doing exactly what he wants us to do. Our world is hurting. Our nation is hurting. The injustice that is happening, all of the anger, all of the bickering, and all of the political divide and everything that's just out there before us, we are constantly bombarded with a nation that's being torn apart. I'm going to tell you, the only thing I believe that's going to repair that is if our nation will once again get on her knees and begin to cry out to the Lord and say, God, we need the Holy Spirit to move in the church so the church can rise up and move like she's supposed to be moving so people can hear the truth and their lives can be changed. So to the church that's here, to the church online, I would say, let's not sit back and do nothing and just be sad about all that's happening. Let's rise up stronger than ever before, being empowered by what God wants to do in and through our lives. We will not see success unless we're where we're supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what I see what's happening here in the church. There would be no coming back stronger without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, for me, I see it right here in Scripture. You can see it here with me. Being empowered. The believers, they were obedient to follow the Lord's instruction. The believers, they were in unity with one another to serve in God's purpose. The believers were committed to spending time in group prayer. You cannot read the book of Acts and come away and say, oh, they really didn't get together. They got together all the time in corporate prayer and trusted God. Number four, the believers cultivated a strong sense of community through fellowship and being devoted to reading and learning and meditating upon the scripture. I love this because there was such a strong sense of fellowship within the church. And I've got to tell you, that's what the church needs today. That's what Coweta Assembly needs today. We need to have a stronger sense of community, of being there for one another. Now, I'm not saying that we haven't done what we're supposed to be doing. I'm saying as we move forward like never before, there ought to be a strong sense of community. Even coming out of this pandemic where we've had to separate ourselves and have all this social distancing and have kind of an empty sanctuary a little bit in spots, even with all of that, I believe we can come out of this stronger, better, and have a better sense of community around us. You see, I want every single person in Coweta Assembly to feel like they're connected to this body. The only way that's going to happen is your response and what you do. Because if it's always just coming in here and just with me and it's just me and you, we're just going to be spinning our wheels. But when it's me and you and everybody else, when you're involved with ministry, when you're engaged with ministry, when you get involved with the small group, when we get those up and running again, my prayer is that every single person will find a place other than just the sanctuary here. You will find a place to get involved so we can build that strong sense of community. You know, over the years, I'll have individuals say, Pastor, I'm not connecting with anybody. I don't, and they want to talk with me and they want to call me at 6, 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. I just need to connect. I'm not connecting. I'm not connecting with anybody. I'm being a little facetious. Well, I'm not really being facetious. That happens. The reason is I find almost every single time is because they're not involved any other place other than just walking in here on a Sunday service. And you're not going to be connected if that's your approach. Your approach is you got to help build that strong sense of community, and that's what you see happening here in the early church as they are being empowered. The last ones, the believers were moving forward with unwavering faith. I love the way that they had their meetings together, but then when they went out into the streets and into the community, they were lifting up the name of Jesus. They were giving witness to the name of Jesus. They were praying in the name of Jesus, and they were not afraid to proclaim the name of Jesus. And in doing so, the community took hold of that. They embraced that, and you saw God do some incredible things throughout their lives. You see, the church was launched in power and strength because they were where God wanted them to be, and they were doing what God wanted them to do. You can read in Scripture. We read a little bit, and you keep reading in Acts, and you're going to see the results of this. All came over the people. Miracles and signs and wonders, they were occurring. A common purpose was pursued with uncompromising unity. Needs of the people were being met. They were filled with this joy and the sense of fulfillment. The generosity of the believers, it just kept increasing. They were worshiping the Lord daily and lifting up his name. They gained favor. Even in the midst of persecution, they were gaining favor with people because people were receiving the truth in which they gave. They gained favor with God. And because so, once again, what do we see happening? The results of Pentecost? Thousands and thousands of people are coming to be saved. In church, when I talk about coming back stronger, that's what I hope the result is, that people are being saved. I just want people to know Jesus. I want them to know him not because I say to, but because they experience him for real, that they call upon his name. The results of the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of God's people is people being saved. I would say this to you. I said this earlier in the first service. I am thankful for all the ministries of the church. I'm thankful for all the benevolent ministries, the food we give out, the clothes we give out, the King's Kitchen, the Right Direction, even getting together in the fellowship with the athletics, playing pickleball and basketball and volleyball and all those wonderful things. I am so thankful for all of the ministries of the church. But what are we doing if those ministries aren't resulting and people being saved? What are we doing if we're just keeping everything up and running, but we're not seeing people being saved? Maybe it's an old cliche that perhaps I shouldn't use this morning, but it's the one that comes to mind. I do not want to be a church that's just filled with country club Christians. This is my church. It feels good. It feels right. I want to see the people that I know. I want to sit by them. I want to talk to them once or a couple times a week. I want to get my spiritual person tickled a little bit so I can feel good about myself. I don't want to do that. What I want to be is a church that is empowered by God, a church that has a vision, a church that has a purpose, a church that has a passion. And when we come together to worship and the excitement of what God's doing. And in everything we do, we see people coming to know Jesus. Because at the end of the day, the scripture tells us everything that we know here on earth, it's going to fade away. And eternity is going to begin. And eternity, there's heaven and then there's a hell. And I want to spend eternity with my Creator, my Lord and my Savior, my family and my friends and my church. And at the end of the day, when everything's gone here, eternity with Jesus is very real. So I want people to know that in a true way. You know, I think about many times, and I shouldn't. I probably overthink it. I know I overthink. My family's laughing. I don't probably overthink it. I overthink it. I think I probably look like such an idiot sometimes, you know, because all of my little quirks and all of my little hangups, all my little things, and I'm sitting there thinking, what would I be if I was sitting out there in the seats watching this guy preach? Sometimes I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Then I'd be like, that guy is... something's wrong with him, you know? But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to convey is that there's a God, there's a Savior whose name is Jesus, and he desires to be Lord over everyone's life and to have a relationship with you, to empower you, to give you fulfillment, to give you life, to give you peace, to give you joy, to give you family, to give you a purpose of belonging, to give you a call for you to be able to fulfill. And man, when I think about what happens here on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls, the people are just experienced just a strong move of God, and all of it was leading to them knowing Jesus in a powerful way and walking in the power and the strength in which he gave them. So I think about our season and our season today and our moment of unprecedented times. I'm going to ask you the question. Are we where God wants us to be, and are we doing what God wants us to do? I'm not talking about 10 weeks ago. I'm not even talking about 10 weeks from now. I'm talking about right now in your life, in your family. I'm talking about us collectively. Are we where God wants us to be and doing what he wants us to do? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to come back stronger as a spirit-empowered church. What does that look like? Here's what I see. A church that's not afraid to pray in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 6, Jude 20. Great places to go to see the church praying in the Spirit. I want to see the church operating in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Those gifts are wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those gifts weren't given for inside the church. Those church were given to the church to go out into the world and present the gospel so people can be changed by his touch upon their lives. I want to see the church engage in the ministry of the Spirit. What are the ministries of the Holy Spirit? We can read in Romans. We can read in Ephesians. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving generously, leading, showing kindness. Several ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to see us operating in those in full force. Also, a church that's walking faithfully and confidently in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That means our lives are a reflection of Jesus because we've been empowered by him. That means that love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, those are all going to be very evident within the church because we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I would say it like this. How could you not come back stronger if you emphasize all avenues of being empowered by the Holy Spirit in your life? So on this Pentecost Sunday, my prayer is that our church would embrace what that means and would engage in what God would want us to be engaged with. I pray that as individuals, and I pray that as a church, as we move forward, let's move with God. Let's hear his voice. Let's fulfill that call. Let's be full of life. Let's be full of power. Let's be full of joy. Let's be full of passion. Let's come to church every time that we have the opportunity, and let's have an expectation, believing that someone's life is going to be changed that day. Amen. Someone's life. When I come to church, my thought is I want someone's life to be changed for the better today. I want people to be saved. I want their homes to be restored. I want people to be able to walk in the abundance of Jesus Christ. I want them to feel that joy. All of us are part of that unfolding because we are the church. And the church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will see the evidence of that taking place. Father, I thank you, God, for our church. I thank you for this day again. I thank you for what it represents. And so, Father, Lord, as we conclude this moment together, I pray that, Father, Lord, that we will embrace the move of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. For those of us, God, that maybe we're new to understanding what that is, I pray that, Father, we'll begin to just gain knowledge and wisdom. We will just saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And in our prayer time, we'll just feel your presence, God, move upon us. I pray, Father, Lord God, for every individual here in the sanctuary. I pray today there's just a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit that is flowing into their lives. I pray, Father, Lord, I pray over their mind, I pray over their hearts, I pray over the depths of their soul. That in the name of Jesus, they're being refreshed, they're being renewed, they're being empowered. That vision, that purpose, that call, it's coming back to life. Father, Lord, anything that right now in this season that's been working against us, being isolated, being lonely, being fearful, being full of anxiety, or just not knowing what to do or how to move or what to say, I pray, Father, all of that gives way to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in our lives. May we wake up each day empowered. May we wake up each day, Father, Lord, fulfilling the things that you've placed inside of us. May our words, may our actions, may our demeanor, may everything about us, Father, Lord God, take on that nature in which you have for us. Father, Lord, I pray for each one. minister to them here today. For every single one that's online, right there in their homes. Maybe they're sitting outside. Maybe they're at a park. Maybe they're at the lake camped out. I pray that, Father, Lord, that you're speaking to them right now. And I pray that, Father, Lord, that you're empowering them. You're speaking to them about where they are and what's happening, what's going on, and how they fit in, God, to what you're doing. I pray that you minister to their lives. So, Father, together, just as you did thousands of years ago on that day of Pentecost, today, on this Pentecost Sunday, Father, Lord, breathe into the church. Breathe into each and every one of us, and may we walk in your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.